services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 237. I'm Adam, and I think you'll find I have a certain genetic advantage. And here's Debbie Melrose.
Who will rid me of this turbulent doctor?
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
You amuse me, grey old man.
And Mary Lang.
My choice.
And this week we're looking at Robert of Sherwood.
Robert of Sherwood.
Hit him.
Down, Kirby, down.
Yes. Right, so let's get straight in. It's not going to be a commentary this week because it's we ain't got time. Basically, the Doctor's doing loads of sums and stuff, which is what he did in episode one. Do you remember on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I wonder if it's the same sort of algorithms, etc.
Might be something to do with the Promised Land still.
Master, oh, yes. Master, yes, master, yes.
You notice that there's plenty of Gallifreyan symbols in there.
Yes, the drums are in the other room. Hang on. The drums are in the other room. You wouldn't have heard that. Right, so... So this is a bit slightly cheesy. The scene where the Doctor's saying to Clara, who he hasn't dropped off back at school, like he normally does, where do you want to go? And she rather randomly says Robin Hood, which is a bit sort of... That's the only part of it I felt was a bit sort of... They could have done better. I would have liked it better if they just happened to land in whatever year it was, 1190 or whatever it was.
There were plenty of places they could have done better.
Maybe. Anyway, so...
It's really odd that the TARDIS is now landing where he wants it to land.
More or less.
He's very precise with his TARDIS, yeah.
Master. He says 1190-ish.
Oh, well, right.
Yeah, but he lands exactly...
We're going to go for 1190.
Yeah, exactly. The TARDIS has obviously decided... Oops, sorry.
Not 50 feet.
Sorry, listeners, that was Debbie tugging at my cable.
Sorry. That's what was slowing it.
The TARDIS decided about it.
Yeah, but look, the E's fallen off the for use of. Look, now it says for USL.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
That's on the police telephone sign on the telephone cupboard. Anyway, and
time
of course,
check 0206.
Very cheesy. Robin Hood doesn't exist sort of thing, and then the arrow hits the TARDIS. I wonder if this is the same Forrester used for Robin Hood, the TV series, with that chap who didn't look
insufficient
anything.
Insufficient data, I can look it up.
You don't have to.
It's probably the same Forrester used for the 50th anniversary.
It looks just like it.
Well, it's a forest.
It does. The lighting and everything is the same.
No, it's not.
Yes?
I'll have to look it up, but I know it's not where they did the 50th.
I was a bit worried with Robin Hood's costume initially, but then when you look at it with a bit more detail, it's not quite the pantomime Robin Hood costume. At least it's a bloke playing.
I was a bit distracted by his perfectly coiffed hair all
yes,
the time.
Yeah.
He always had those two next strands hanging
and the little
plait
on the back.
I laughed incorrectly.
Doesn't she look lovely in that dress? Yes, she does. Don't argue with me.
Forest Four is where they filmed this.
Well, that's what I thought when I saw Clara coming out the TARDIS. Yes.
Did you notice that the TARDIS healed itself?
Yes.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Well, then it can fix its E.
True. But maybe it doesn't know that E's fallen off.
That's part of its disguise.
What, the part the E's missing.
Yes.
Okay. So the Doctor and Robin Hood have a little bit of a skirmish on a... On a log, I suppose.
It looks like a piece of concrete.
Does it?
Yes.
It does look a bit like a log.
It looks like it's something permanent.
But it's a bit superfluous, this log, because it's a pond. They can easily walk around it. Why do they have to walk across it?
That's not the point.
Well, I don't need it. It looks like it's been put there for the sake of being a bridge.
No, it's not the point. It's the honour of the thing. It's
not necessary.
Ponds don't flow. It's a flowing stream.
Ponds don't flow.
No, they don't.
Anyway, right. So, there's a bit of a skirmish, which is a bit of leads to the Doctor ending up in the water. And then a savage and brutal murder that the Sheriff of Nottingham... this bloke's very familiar.
Ben Miller.
Not him. The bloke that he...
Quail.
He follows through.
Yeah.
No, Quail. Sorry.
He's been in...
Runs through with a sword.
I'm trying to work out what else he's been in. I think he's been in a Blackadder.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
Roger Aston Griffiths. Let's see.
So, I reckon he's been in Harry Potter. I reckon he's
been in The Brothers Grimm in Brazil, A Knight's Tale.
That's Brazil, yeah. Gangs of New York.
Yeah, but what but
Adam,
in
you're
Brazil?
Probably right. Every English actor has been in Harry Potter.
He was in The Tudors and Game of Thrones.
It's a good
might
guess.
Be where you might recognize
I haven't
him
seen
from.
Game of Thrones, so I would never have seen him in Game of Thrones. Because
listeners, he played Mace Tyrrell.
Okay, now that's another women IMD page of... we've got somebody arriving for Deb. Yeah, so it was quite a brutal killing, wasn't it?
It was quite, yes. And he had a hanky. I was quite surprised the sheriff had
also,
a hanky.
Also, I did notice about this quail chap.
The road looks good,
no. He can't spit straight. Yeah. It's sort of more of a shower than a spit, wasn't it? When it was...
I find it interesting, though, that they would leave this little bit of brutality in, but they would cut it out, cut a piece of it out later.
Yes, I completely agree. That was strange.
What was?
And unnecessary.
Sorry, I missed that bit.
Yes,
the scene that they cut later.
Oh, I don't know.
They cut the beheading bit out of respect for the two people who had been killed recently,
which you don't even really see.
Yeah, you would never have seen it, would you? They would never have actually.
No, it was just going to. It was just going to highlight the fact that the sheriff's a cyborg because he mentions it, but they were going to highlight
but, yeah,
it.
But
yes,
it,
yeah,
so I thought it would have been nice to keep it in.
Nice to keep it
the BBC are treading that fine line at the moment because of this coverage of ISIS.
Yeah, okay, well, I don't think it detracted anything from the story.
I thought it was
great. And then we meet the Merry Men, yes.
The caves are called the Three Bears. They're in Forest Fair Country Park.
Forest.
Forest with two Fs. There were scenes from the very first episode of Torchwood that were filmed there. That's also where, I know you haven't seen it, but the Hound of Baskerville episode of Sherlock was filmed there. And also parts of, I believe it was Bells of St. John.
Okay.
All right, okay. That doesn't surprise me because that's a certain familiarity about that.
It's nice.
Right, of course, when they meet the Merry Men, the doctor's sort of adamant that it's all, there's something not quite right about it, they don't exist. And
oh,
it just goes around,
sandal.
Goes around testing people.
I like when he points out to Alan Adale that if he was real, he'd be dead in 6 months.
Yes,
I am real.
But,
sorry.
Yes.
And then he reminds him of it periodically.
Master.
Yes.
Think about this. That's Mark Gatiss telling his own husband that he's only got 6 months. That's kind of weird.
Yes.
Yeah, the actor who plays Alan Adale is married to Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Yawn.
I'm caught. I'm a bit lost on that one. So...
No, he wrote a scene that his husband is due to die.
But he's an actor and he's playing a character, Kirby.
Yeah,
whatever. No, I know, but... Oh, come off it, honestly. Right. Don't rise.
Oh, and Kirby, did you know that the hobo in the first episode was actually the husband of Liz Slater? I mean, we're getting all the married news in here now, I guess.
No, you're going to upset him in a minute. I don't know whether Clara is sort of...
There's an awful lot of chemistry between her and Robin.
The way she's looking at him, I don't know if it's because she's just in awe of the fact that's Robin Hood or whether she's got a bit of a crush on him.
I think she's a crush, but I think they're very good friends by the end of it. But it's the way they keep referencing how much she sparkles about the guy she's met for like 2 minutes.
I think the best chemistry is actually between the Doctor and Robin. Because it just reminded me of, I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's a similarity between the Doctor and other characters he's sort of not quite got on with but has got on with during Doctor Who. And I'm thinking of a bit of the Tennant's Doctor and Captain Jack.
Yes.
A little bit of possessiveness about the companion.
Is this microphone working?
Yeah.
Yes, unfortunately.
Friar Tuck.
Yes.
His Trevor Cooper, he was in Revelation of the Daleks.
Were they?
Yes. Yeah. Part of the double act there with the oh, what's his name? I'd have to look him up.
Don't worry. So yeah, the
yes, I do worry.
So
yeah, to tell Kirby not to worry.
This is quite nice that the archery
part, part of the double act.
Steve Goff?
Never mind.
He was part of the double act with Colin Spall.
Okay, but the archery contest was quite a nice, put, nicely put together scene. Obviously, because it's part of the sort of traditional story of Robin Hood. That's not going to sort of go on about it, but it was just an enjoyable scene.
I like Alan Adale going at it with his mandolin or whatever his lute. Yeah. Sorry, his lute. Yeah.
And then the robots are revealed. Sorry, yes.
I did have one problem.
What with the robots?
No, with the archery contest, particularly the prize.
What, the golden arrow?
Gold is heavier than that.
I thought it might happen with Cybermen or something.
My, you are. I hope he sat down. Here, aren't you?
Didn't realise you were out there with the scales. Oh, he's gone all quiet now.
No,
he's still fuming.
It should have been. They should have acted as though it was a lot heavier than it was. Yes.
But then they wouldn't have been able to do the in scene because there was no way that you could have shot an arrow like that.
Anyway, so in the dungeons there is a woman that I didn't realise was Marion until the end because I'm useless.
I realised it when she was in the yoke. I was like, that's Marion, there you go.
Yes, I knew it immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
Well, they were in Robin Hood's tale and there was one lady.
Yeah. So yeah, that was quite good, isn't it? With the cross on the forehead yes. Just before the robot sort of kill or
just a pile of ashes and shoes. Yeah.
And smoke or steam, depending. That was quite good. Let's move on. Thank you, Kirby, for goodness sake.
Morning breeze.
Meanwhile, the Doctor and Robin Hood have been locked. Oh, and Clara have been locked in the dungeon. And I do like that.
Oh, obviously, shut it.
Yeah, when Clara gets sort of taken away, and I don't know, there's a line in which the Doctor says, "Oh, I'm glad Clara wasn't here to see that."
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when they're trying to get the keys.
The footsie thing with the keys. Oh, which of course harkens back to the first episode with the footsie thing with the screwdriver.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, maybe that's a connection.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe it's to do with feet this week.
I'm just
not
wondering,
eyes.
I just keep watching these things. I know that Missy has got a couple of the characters, but I'm just waiting for the grand finale at Christmas or just before, which will have every character reappearing. I just hope...
At Christmas?
Part of me just doesn't want the last episode to be like it always seems to be. Every character from last episode all piling in and saving
I think they'll probably get cameos in it. I mean, I heard a rumour that Liz Ten was supposed to be coming back to Doctor Who at some point. It's only a rumour, but I did hear it.
Was anyone curious about how they were keeping that big silver thing on Jenna Coleman's forehead?
Yeah, I wondered if she'd been using some tit tape or something like that.
From what tape?
Tit tape. It holds, it's models and actors. Stars use it to hold very flimsy garments
thank
in
you.
Place.
Yes.
I mean, after the plunge in the river and everything, that held on through it all.
So yeah,
I know she's a cyborg.
Yeah,
must have been painful to take off later.
Yeah. So I'm just moving on a bit because it's all to do with that brilliant those brilliant scenes in the dungeon between Robin Hood and the Doctor, while Clara is having a meal with. The Sheriff of Nottingham, who is played superbly by Ben Miller. Completely sort of detached characters he normally plays.
I just like the fact that Clara's pleased throughout because she's meeting all the characters from one of her favourite stories. She's just pleased with the whole thing. Like when they come down the... she's hanging on to Robin and they come down the knife in the old banner routine and the way she's just smirking at the Doctor
I like that scene when he does the sort of all-powerful sort of thing when he's sort of saying the things he's going to take over and he goes on moving on to Lincoln.
To Lincoln, where? Darby.
The world.
Works
really
off.
There is a point in which Clara starts to get a little bit worried about how mad Sheriff of Nottingham actually is, and then they find the spaceship because there has to be a spaceship somewhere along the
line. The Promised Land does look a bit like, as has been pointed out by a lot of people, like the Gallifrey
The Matrix.
The image of the of Gallifrey from the from which one? The one where they Day of the Doctor, I think it is.
No, I thought you were going to say the Matrix was.
No, not genre. From the Matrix.
No. Well, no, I'm talking about Missy's sort of place. Had a sort of Matrixness about it, not Matrix the film. The Matrix, as in.
Now I know what you mean. Yes, yeah, yeah.
And it's feasible that they could end up in the Matrix somehow, if they're dead.
Well, they're probably going to Gallifrey, which is in a pocket universe. La di da di da.
They're headed that way, definitely.
Yes,
the
he's read all the scripts. He's going to try and make out that he's. That's come off the top of his head. Right, so, yeah, because the Doctor, even late in the story, is convinced that Robin Hood is, in fact, a robot.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone get a State of Decay vibe out of the fact that we've got a castle?
Yes.
The sky, the spaceship is a castle.
Yes, definitely.
No. Well, I had
I like the fact they showed Patrick Troughton as Robin Hood.
What I got was a full circle vibe, because there was a mention of Skyship, and there was spaceship was in this sort of area. That was a bit of it reminded me of that.
I haven't seen Full Circle all the way through.
Yeah,
so.
I haven't seen Full Circle.
Okay. Sorry.
Anyway,
are we keeping you awake, Debbie?
No, sorry.
No, it's me. I've had this effect on people.
6 days in a row at work. It's been a bit hard.
So, Doctor, meanwhile, meets. Oh, he does get out, doesn't he? Because he meets Marion. Mm-hmm. Still don't know it's Marion officially at this stage. And then didn't Robin Hood end up in the moat and with Clara?
Doing the heroic thing.
Sticky thing on her forehead. Standing all.
Yeah. And there's a bit of an iPad moment with Sheriff on the table.
Yes, he's got an iPad.
Yeah. He uses the table as an iPad. And then he tries to punch the robots and hurts his hand.
That was great. I had a feeling that was a last-minute addition.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
I like the way he stops them when he wants his showdown with Robin.
Yeah.
Just turns them off.
And of course, they have to have that showdown bit as well.
Yeah, of course they do. It's part of the legend. Yeah. Two great legends meeting each other, you know.
And like you say, the sliding down with the old the sword down the down the flag, which is traditional.
Yep. Which is, of course, impossible to do.
Oh, yeah.
God, sometimes it just doesn't matter.
Well, Mythbusters did it, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, they can't.
Right.
You can't do
the
it.
Mythbusters.
What happens then?
You just break it and fall flat to the ground.
That's right.
It's out of a silent movie by Douglas Fairbanks Sr.
Well, they did that. They tried testing the making a bullet curl thing as well by flicking the gun.
Yeah.
They tested that as well, but whenever the bullet comes out, the gun always goes straight. Yeah. Whatever.
Also, you can't split arrows that way.
No, that doesn't matter. Again, it's part of that. No. Anyway,
part of the legend.
Doesn't matter. It's brilliant.
It's a story.
The Sheriff of Nottingham falls to his burning death, and the castle's going to blow.
He still makes a couple of references that shows he is half robot.
Mm. But yeah, it would have been nice to.
Yeah.
It does feel too abrupt, doesn't it?
Did anyone get that who didn't already know?
Didn't know what he was, half robot.
I got it on the second viewing.
Okay.
I only got it on the second viewing because I just thought, well, you know, he's dead. Okay, fine. And I couldn't really hear because my TV just seems to concentrate on the music rather than the dialogue.
I
didn't get it until I watched the working print and saw the cutout scene, and that he was a robot.
I have to remember this.
Oh my goodness! Do my ears deceive me? You watched the work print?
Well, I watched them afterwards. I don't watch them before.
Good girl. I haven't watched, especially
when they say scenes have been cut out. You know, then I go back to see. Oh, really? What was cut out?
What I got from it was that the fact that this was like a thousand years ago, I thought that this was the spaceship that was in the Paternoster Gang's episode one, where they were robots and there was a half robot. obviously not there's the same no type of robot.
There's no way that it could have been because
I know, but there was a Sherwood. Point in which I thought it was.
Well, if all of these characters are whole or half robot, what does that say about Robin?
He's real.
No, okay, he's real.
No, he might be a robot too.
Anyway,
no,
right, so...
established that he's real.
The only bit I didn't really sort of... well, I suppose it does fit into it because it's slightly sort of mythical, this episode. The fact that all he has to do is fire the golden arrow and hit the spaceship with it. The arrow doesn't actually have to get inside the spaceship into its...
I know, that was stupid.
Into its workings, which is a bit of a shame, really. They could have had it, the arrow does, cause it's such a good shot, it does actually fly up into the engine or something like that.
See, it's a target. There's what looks
yeah.
like a target.
Yeah, I know, but it's silly. But the whole episode
really
is silly. So it does lead to a big explosion, but fortunately in orbit. And then we have the repeat of the reuniting of K-9 with Sarah Jane when the TARDIS and Maid Marian has been hiding behind it all that time. That's been a long time.
I just don't understand everybody referencing he must be a lucky man. And it's like there was no chemistry between her and Danny Pink. Hopefully that will come about, but they're all going, oh, he must be a lucky man. It's like you have more chemistry between Robin and her rather than...
They've sort of only spoke to each other and have been out on one date. But, I mean, obviously Danny Pink's going to come in a bit more in the next
episode.
He's
in the next episode, isn't
he? Yeah. So, right, I'll go first because it's me. Right, I watched it, as I do, first time I watched Doctor Who, really enjoy it because it's brand new and it's difficult to get a real assessment on it.
And now you hate it.
So the second time I watched it, liked it even more than the first time, and found it very difficult. Apart from the couple of things I said, which are really minor and petty,
like the TARDIS door being open closed,
and the arrow hitting the spaceship rather than going in the engine. Little petty things like that. But the fact is, it's really good fun, and the comedy is spread evenly and acceptably through the whole story. And it's one of Mark Gatiss's best episodes of Doctor Who. And it's I think at this stage we needed an episode like this just to sort of enjoy and have a bit of a romp and just get our head around the diversity of Peter Capaldi's Doctor, and really start to like him as a shut up. Quite start to like him as a character, and all in all, it's the best episode so far this series. But I'm still expecting something a bit more spectacular, you know, writing wise. But yeah, I really really enjoyed it, and I don't want to really fault it that much. I know people hate comedy Doctor Who episodes, but I think this is a really good one. Go on, Debbie.
I enjoyed this one. Probably everybody who belongs to our Facebook page has observed.
I'm sorry.
No, I was ready for this episode, definitely. I mean, after sort of the darkness of last week and then obviously the puzzlement of the intro episode where you don't know what kind of Doctor he's going to be, this was just what we need, a little bit of tonic, because you know it's going to get darker because it's Moffat. But it was just a really needed, refreshing breath of air. You get to see how grumpy the Doctor is, and Clara's actually becoming more rounded as a character.
Oh, she needs to go on a diet.
They seem to be trying to rewrite her slightly, so this time she was given a lot more to work with, and I really enjoyed it.
She's a really good
Absolutely
eyebrows are great.
The two legends meeting and facing off like that was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
Because really, I'm as real as you are, he says at the end.
Yeah,
so, you know, two very strong British constitutions.
I know what you're trying to say. But I'm just thinking about the eyebrows. Obviously, the Doctor's had his eyebrows sort of rather...
He's got more eyebrows.
No, they've actually... sort of made Clara's eyebrows a bit thicker to maybe sort of balance that thing out.
What, the balancing out?
Yeah, give her a good proper set of eyebrows.
I think the TARDIS in this episode as well really knew what it wanted to do this time round as well. That's why she landed straight next to Robin Hood. It was like, let's go and see Robin Hood. Okay, you know, instead of just going, actually, I'm going to take you where you need to go.
Yes.
I want to see Doctor Who, Robin Hood. So, it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, and Kirby.
Want more, though?
Obviously, I loved this. The thing is that I did read the script beforehand. I've read all of the of the lead scripts. What?
No, stop Nothing. It. Ignore him. Carry on, Kirby.
But I've kept all of the little secrets that I know.
Not all of them.
But... secret. But when I read this, I hated it. Absolutely. I was going, this is trite. This is stupid. I'm just going to hate it.
And well,
went in
that,
Saturday evening, started watching it. And as soon as that spoon came out, I was hooked. And I was sitting here watching it with Fred was sitting next. Close by, but she was drawing and stuff because she still hadn't seen two episodes and she wanted to see them in sequence. And she was looking up every 2 or 3 minutes because I was laughing hysterically.
Yeah, Devin Isabella laughed a lot through this.
And just, I loved it. I loved all of the nods to the past. The miniscope.
Yeah.
He brought up the miniscope.
Yeah. And he said very well, like the third Doctor would have done.
And Venusian Aikido.
Oh, yeah.
He actually used
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
For a classic Doctor Who fan, I was just in beside myself. It was just so fantastic.
And, of course, it's flashbacks got plot holes. To Robin Hood with a picture of Patrick Troughton.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I since we see it later than you guys, I had been warned on Facebook to look for that already. So, unfortunately, it wasn't a surprise.
There you go.
But I don't stay away from Facebook during the time gap between you guys seeing it and we are being able to see it. Mm. But it was just marvelous. Absolutely. The problems with it, with the gold arrow and hitting the ship to make it go further out into space and stuff like that, didn't bother me. It's Doctor Who. Yeah. Now, I want to know how Mary hates it.
So that is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. It was fluff, you know, but my issue is there hasn't really been much Doctor Who to sink my teeth into up to this point. So for me, this is just one more piece of fluff, and I'm still looking for a really good story, a really good script. One thing I did appreciate a lot was the way they are rewriting Clara. It's kind of like all of a sudden either the script writers or the showrunner has woken up to the fact that they have this very talented actress and that they haven't really been using. And up until this season, I have felt she's just kind of a chatterbox in the background to Matt Smith's Doctor. But with Capaldi's Doctor, they're really putting her to the front and giving her a lot more to, you know, sink her teeth into as an actress. And I really appreciate that. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, there's Clara. I like her. whereas before, you know, I didn't really care about her one way or the other. She just never seemed to have that spark that Karen Gillan had so that she could balance off, you know, the manic energy of the Matt Smith Doctor. And let me say, and the thing about the Doctor is I'm not sure what they're doing with him. They seem to be still exploring who he is, because throughout this episode, you know, you could see him standing there looking a little befuddled, like, what am I supposed to do here? Or, you know, how am I supposed to be? And he would be affected at times by things like that kiss that girl gives him out of gratitude. And he stands there for a second holding his cheek like, you know, what was that?
Yes.
It's kind of like he's still figuring himself out. Which is, you know, okay, but we're kind of dragging this out because usually by the third episode, you know, the Doctor's pretty solidly in place. But, you know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm just wondering how long they're going to drag out this, you know, who am I and what am I supposed to be doing when it comes to the Doctor. So, yeah, overall, I mean, like I said, it's a piece of fluff and I enjoyed it. But, you know, I'm still looking for something to sink my teeth into.
More or less what I said, really.
Yeah, and it's true, and I was glad.
Do you think it's the best one of the series so far?
Oh yeah, mm. yeah, just because it doesn't, you know, question him, and I mean, and there, I did not feel, except maybe for in the scenes in the dungeon when they're all arguing. Those seem to be about the only times when the script seemed to be stretching it a little bit, but it's a minor complaint. Otherwise, it felt like it was story from start to finish and not like the past two episodes where we had about 30 minutes of story and 15 minutes of stretcher. So, yeah, for that, I did enjoy it.
Excellent. Okay, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Right, I think we'll do some feedback. Oh, actually, talking of feedback, you said you got some feedback from your dad.
My dad decided to send in some feedback. Ooh. I told him to record it, but he didn't. He sent me a script instead. And he was not as impressed, I think, as most of us have been. So, blasphemer. But he has been a fan for a very, very long time. And I'm trying to find it. Here we are, padding out as I do. Ah, here we are. Dear Deb, here are a few of my thoughts on last night's episode. Feel free to use any of them if they're worth anything. Unlike real ale, which increases in strength the more the barrel is consumed, this series of Doctor Who is looking thin. Mark Gatiss usually delivers with his scripts and inevitably, bless you, no storyline is completely original, but for homage to work it needs to be a little bit more subtle than this. Monty Python, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves... Robin Hood has fallen in the water. The goons, where can he be? Wait a minute, there goes the Doctor. Kel's surprise, and of course, Shrek. I fully expected the Doctor's feisty companion, Clara, to perform a slow-mo leap while adjusting her tresses and taking out Robin Hood, or the Sheriff. I nearly forgot the hurling of insults scene. Blackadder did it better. Happy Potamus, ha! There was not enough backstory on the Metal Men. I did like the sword cross-shaped opening in their helmets, which acted as a blaster muzzle. Clutching at straws like this is sad. But I have been a fan since seeing the very first episode in 1963, brackets, there were people then, close brackets, and expectations were naturally running high 3 weeks ago. In The Doctor's Wife, check me on this, we meet the female personification of the TARDIS. If we hear a ticking noise from the console soon, I shall have to assume it's the sound of her fingernails drumming on the metal. She must be thinking, get on with it, as loud as she can.
Get on with it!
Get on with it! Doctor Who used to be a byword for innovation. I prefer wobbly sets, dodgy effects and non-existent CGI, but snappy dialogue and great storylines. Of course, in Chris Eccleston and David Tennant's time, all guns were firing. All right, some of Matt Smith as well. As I said, after the first episode, perhaps it's just me. Now I reckon I'm not so alone. I was always suspicious of overinflated praise on the back of a DVD and was therefore put off buying it. The peons of praise from most reviews are beginning to remind me of this scenario. My prediction, for what it's worth, get your act together, you keepers of the flame, or watch the ratings begin to tumble. And once the knives come out, that's from my dad, David Vickers.
Ooh, I could not agree with him more. Yeah.
I've told him he's got to do regular feedback.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was excellent. Yes. That was excellent feedback, yeah.
Get him to record it next time.
Mostly because I agree with him.
Oh, Kirby.
Sorry, Kirby, you went over. Carry on.
Oh, no, sorry, breaking up.
Kirby's gone cyber.
Kirby's gone funny.
Which is sometimes a good thing. So while you're sorting yourself out, Kirby, we'll move on to the next bit of feedback, which could be very quiet.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabyters. Andy Lennon here. It's 20 past seven on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. Had a bath, listened to the Archers, now got a rather nice glass of White Rocker sitting with me. And I want to talk about Robot of Sherwood, which, well, obviously the title of the story. Pretty much gave it away what there was any robots in there, but yes, it wasn't Robin himself. Now, this is an interesting one because you start off with Robin Hood, obviously a fictitious character, or I say, because I think the way the Doctor presented it, you know, he's someone who was a real person but moved into mythology, and at the end, with him, the Robin himself saying to the Doctor, you know, this is what you are, this is what you could be, you can make other people to be a hero. I think it's a very interesting way on the take on English history. You know, Robin Hood probably was a fictitious character. However, a lot of fiction has based in history, so there might well have been characters, people who aggregated, really became the Robin Hood myth. So I think that was a very clever way of doing it. Now, the story itself, yeah, it was good enough, but it's a bit thin in places. I mean, what I can't get to his head is how the sheriff just accepted these robots and didn't question them, and so it seemed quite comfortably going on about what these things were. I love the bit where he said, you know, Nottingham's not big enough for me, Derby! And then Lincoln! You know, it's Yeah, right, you know, really just showing it. Remember the last time you thought of someone invading Derby? It wouldn't be Derby, he said, godforsaken place at the best of times. But, did I think he looked a bit like Anthony Ainley? He really did, you know, I did wonder. No. So I remember the Master in King's Demons when he was playing King John, and, yes, mm-hmm. I wonder if it was based on that. It did make me think, Civil War. That is rather good. Now, I was fascinated by Clara's costume. I mean, she looked very nice in it, you must admit, but, is it water resistant? Because when she and Robin escaped from the castle, they went out the window and presumably landed in the moat. Next morning, you see her, and she's got the same outfit on, and it's untouched. I mean, you know, you think you've gone into a moat, probably one of the cleanest thing around. So, what's got a washing machine there? And she managed to do her hair and everything like that. Interesting that was. They do seem to have a thing, and this happened in the last story where they all got soaked to the stomach of the beast and then came out and immaculate. So obviously, there's a thing about time travel that keeps you close.
Yeah, that annoys me, actually.
It's going to save any dry cleaning bills, doesn't it, as well? The Merry Men. Yeah, Merry Men. Formulaic. I really saw them, did you, as well. I like the way the Doctor agreed to them, was trying to work out what on earth they were and testing them. He obviously realised there was something wrong with the climate and weather, the fact it was autumn, yet everything was so green, the food was so fresh, so he'd obviously spotted something was awry. And the archery contest, now they've got a bit silly that doing, firing arrows and bouncing off the other knights and things like that, and they keep splitting the arrows, and then he does come out and say, yes, he had a homing thing that took it in. Very cleverly done, though, I thought. That was quite a good piece. A bit corny at the end, we fired the golden arrow back in to get the spirit to space and then to blow it up. So, yes. However, we have definitely got the Bad Wolf motif here in this Promised Land, because that's the third reference to Heaven,
really?
Promised Land. We didn't see Missy, obviously, in this one, but the reference is clearly there. So, is this really going to be the theme of the story, or is it a MacGuffin? Is it something just distracting from everybody else? Let's go away, Moth. What is it? What is this Promised Land? Will we find out? I mean, Missy, no doubt, is going to come back in the future. Who is she? Don't know, but yes, it was definitely there again. But you've got aliens, robots looking for it. Why? I mean, so far you've had a soldier go there, you've had a half android, half man go there, and now you've got a bunch of robots looking for it. So what is it? Is it Gallifrey? Interesting. Could be, couldn't it? Now, certainly Peter Capaldi is really much stepping into the role. Well, as I said last week, he's very much a mental doctor. You did see him into physical action here. I mean, taking on Robin with a spoon, I thought was very, very funny. And he was very done, but yes, I mean, he has fought with the best at the times, hasn't he? You know, he really would know how to be a swordsman. And the bit when he bumped Robin into the river and then looks in and gets bumped in himself. Again, dry clothing. I mean, you know, what is it about them? You know, wonderful automatic clothes drying service.
Stuff,
yeah, you can make a fortune out of that, couldn't you? Then Marion comes back at the end, and that's Robin, yeah, shooting an arrow in the air. I wonder where that came down, yes. What you didn't see was all these many men with an arrow in his eye after that. All in all, it was... Oh, for God's sake, go away.
What, Kirby?
All in all, yes, I think I did quite enjoy it. Sorry, there's a bit of interruption there, because Java keeps trying to change things on me. It was good fun, I enjoyed it, a bit of a romp, you know, literally a bit of a romp. So next week we'll see what happens, and what with the next version, next reference rather, to the Promised Land, or Heaven, or something like that. Anyway, I will see that, so until next week, be seeing you.
Yes, thank you, Andy. Volume is back to correct level. Yes, Kirby, I just want to introduce Mr. Ben Shoveler.
Oh, sorry, I saw him in there.
I wasn't listening.
My name? I just said hello.
Oh, sorry, hello.
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 How is everybody?
All the better for hearing you.
Well, of course.
Sleepy.
Well, you're doing a very good job of sleep talking.
It's 5:30 in the morning here.
Oh, God. See, I'll remember my time in America. I almost didn't come home. And I might come back. So, yeah. Oh, well, wake up. It's time to talk Doctor Who.
It is. So let's hear what Kirby had to say. Sorry, listeners, but here he is.
Well, I just want to say with the last feedback, I couldn't understand the first 3 minutes because of all the opening and closing of doors.
Do apologise. I'll just tell my wife to stop doing her business in the middle of doing a podcast.
She's doing her business. What?
Business. Yeah.
Yes.
And also, I've got an idea of how Clara ends up not having a messed up dress after going through the moat and everything.
Oh, something to do with the other future episodes. He's already probably read this.
No, no.
Yes, yeah, go on, him.
No,
or losing her sticky jewel. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Sticky jewel.
You know what?
Sticky jewel. Oh, the one on the head.
All right. Okay. Yes. Go on.
Keep in mind, the TARDIS has materialized right next to where the Merrymen are. She just popped into the TARDIS and changed.
Okay, Kirby. Anyway, right, before we move on to more feedback, Ben, do a bit of a recap, because obviously we're now into episode 3. Initially, what do you think of episodes 1 and 2?
Yeah, they're all right. Oh, you didn't expect anything else, surely you didn't expect anything
That's
else.
Actually quite good, then.
Yeah, they have been there. Well, yes, they're good enough, aren't they? Quite impressed by the fact that I've managed to sit through 2 episodes written by Stephen Moffat without breaking my television.
Send that one back.
I'd send it back as well. Right back. One of the funny things that I'm getting a little bit miffed about, really, is all this talk about Peter Capaldi being the best doctor that's ever lived after 3 episodes. I just don't buy it myself. He's all right. He does a job. But he's no David Tennant.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're not giving him much to do either.
No, well, that's going to be one of my points, actually, Mary. What has he actually done to make to make him so fantastic? I mean, he's a good actor. Of course he's a good actor, Peter Capaldi. But I think the problem with casting someone who people know already as the Doctor is that you see the actor before the Doctor, if you see.
Oh, true. Oh, true.
Obviously, when they cast David Tennant, he was a relative unknown still in this country. He had done a couple of things, but unless you'd caught them, then you wouldn't. I didn't know who he was. Same with Matt Smith. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who he was when he took over the Doctor, but I do know who Peter Capaldi is, and I have seen him in several rather funny and rude TV programs before.
Yes.
And so, you know, mm-hmm. trying to see him as the Doctor now is taking a bit of time. I think he's good. I've got no issues with him. I'm not sitting there going, oh, he's rubbish, he shouldn't be doing it. But I don't see, I mean, I've read so many things on your Facebook page, on loads of other Facebook pages, saying, oh, Peter Capaldi's the best doctor in the world, he's my doctor. It's just like, mm-hmm. get a grip, he's done 3 episodes and they've been average. I mean, Saturday was a bit of a romp, it didn't make a lot of sense, it was funny in places. As the other ones, as the other two have been, the second one last week was quite amusing, Dalek, again, you just kind of thought, Script writing storylines didn't make a whole lot of sense the whole time, I think, but it fudged together. First one was quite good, but there wasn't enough regeneration process, you know, they kind of like stopped it and he kind of went, oh, I'm all right now, and you didn't get the usual bits after the regeneration, but no, he's all right, he's doing a job, and, you know, I'm concerned, however, about, as you were just talking about, the heaven or whatever it is they keep on going to with this Missy character.
Promised land.
It's clearly going to be some sort of thing that Stephen Moffat's going to fudge into the last episode just to try and make sense of all the other ones, because that's what he does, isn't it? But
well, to pick up on what you're saying, and you did not hear a letter from Debbie's dad, who was not very complimentary of the first 3 episodes. If the viewership is falling away, you know, if it does happen, I'm afraid it's going to be blamed on Capaldi before he's had a chance to show his acting chops in this, and not because the storylines are so thin and unmotivating, you know, for people to want to watch.
Well, we've had that before, though, haven't we, when it was cancelled, you know, between Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy in Bad Stories.
Yeah,
that's what happened there. But I mean, I don't think there's any chance of it at all being cancelled or anything bad coming of Capaldi's era, because it makes too much money for the BBC now, and because of all the cutbacks and everything else, they still need to get the revenue where they can, which is obviously another reason why Jeremy Clarkson has never been sacked from Top Gear, well, the fact that he owns it as well. But,
I don't think it's in danger of being cancelled, but I think if viewership falls, you know, when they start scrambling, oh dear, what's going on? You know, I'm afraid it'll be Capaldi that they'll blame it on and not the stories.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's not been confirmed either way whether he's signed on for another season, is it yet?
There has been mention that he's been confirmed for series 9.
Well, I've only seen it in The Sun, and I, you know.
Yeah, well. you can't mirror's a bit more unreliable than the sun, I think.
But until that's come out to say he's definitely doing a second series. And the other thing is, I don't know if you all picked, just slightly going off topic a little bit, there was an interview with Jenna Coleman the other day where she was saying, oh, I'm not telling you when I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. And the way she was kind of saying it is basically she's already left, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think she'll,
you know, this will be her last series. And they'll,
I've got a hypothesis about that.
Oh, go on then.
No, it's not because it's not because I've read any advanced scripts about what's going on. I have an idea that from reading the synopsis, the actual official BBC synopsis, the Clara is going to disappear mid-season for several stories.
Oh, really?
And that's the going away. That's the whole business that she's trying to walk around to make it mysterious.
Oh, right. Okay.
So
that would make a bit of sense then, wouldn't it? If everyone thinks she's left and then she comes back, but
yeah, I think that's what's going to happen.
With her jumping into the Doctor's timeline, then she's going to be kind of with every Doctor anyway for the rest of history. So I'd like to see how they're going to play that one out. I've been mildly impressed. I've watched all three of them and not thought, well, that was a right stinker. Mm. So, you know, that
can only be good. So we're going to move back into the realm of feedback now with this particular edition. Who is me?
Hello to everyone at the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for Robot of Sherwood. You know, I have kind of mixed feelings about this episode. I did enjoy it. I think Peter Capaldi and Jenna Coleman are very good. If you don't like Capaldi's Doctor, his take on the Doctor by after this episode, you probably never will. I think the characterizations so far this season of both the Doctor and Clara have been really, really great. This story in particular, as I feel the others too, the stories are pretty weak, fairly weak. I mean, Robot of Sherwood is a bit of a farce, which is okay, but it's pretty thin. You know, I mean, aliens and damaged ship land on Earth. They disguise the ship as a castle, try to repair it to finish their journey to this mystical promised land. And that's pretty much it. The Doctor has to, stop their tyranny of the local people. But you really don't, that's pretty much the story. I've only watched it once, but I don't remember getting where they came from, how their ship got damaged, or why they were going to the promised land. Obviously, you know, this promised land that has, that ties into Missy somehow. I'm all for season-long narratives, but you got to hang them on more a solid story than this. You know, at least with, you know, the Bad Wolf and, you know, the Crack, at least those showed up in more substantive stories, to my recollection. These episodes this season has been really interesting. Like I said, really strong characterizations, but really I haven't been really impressed at all with the stories or the plot. No one sacrificed himself this week, this episode, so no appearance of Missy. But I would bet she'll probably be in the next episode, you know, based on the trailer for next week's story. And that's pretty much it. I know a lot of people really like this episode from what I've been reading on the net. And I can see why. It's very entertaining. I don't know how Doctor Who-ish it is, but it's very good. Peter Capaldi is really good. It's a good story to let Capaldi breathe in the Doctor's skin, kind of like, you know, stretch out. And maybe that's why it's set as the third episode. It seemed, you know, you would think it would be a little too early to have an episode like this for a new Doctor so early in his run, but maybe it's just letting him flex and really inhabit the character for more heavier stories down the line. Like I said, I like the more humoristic episodes. My Doctor Who doesn't have to be always super serious, but I don't know, you know, Robin Hood basing a whole episode on aliens pretending to be, you know, involved in Robin Hood myth. I think it's hard to say. I don't know. I don't think they really put as much effort into it as they could have with the story. I think they just relied on the strong you know, character performances of the Doctor and his companion, which I guess is fine in the long run, as long as we get more fleshier, substantive stories the rest of the season. Anyway, so that's my feedback. I hope you guys have a great week.
Yes. Patrick Bishop, thank you very much, Patrick.
Yeah. Very good, Patrick. Thank you, yeah.
There's more.
No.
Yeah, there is. Hang on, and I've got to play a sting for this one, if I can find it.
Ouch.
We'll eventually play.
Oh, you little bugger.
There we go.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk. Robots of Sherwood by Matt Gatiss. Robin reminds me of Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean. The Doctor takes a hair from one mini-man, blood from another, but he leaves Little John well alone. The Sheriff says he will take control of Derby next, and they've done their research because Derby did exist in 1190. The Doctor insists Robin is not real. Everyone told Amy that the Doctor was not real. Robin quotes Karl Marx centuries before he was born. Property is theft. The robots apparently do not have enough gold for their ship to reach orbit, but they left a large amount behind with the Sheriff embedded in it. This is a great episode with an incredible number of jokes and Who references. There are so many references to classic Who in this. I expect web pages will be made listing them all. Gundan robots. Robin bickers like Perry, but with an English accent. The Seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy, had two spoons. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Oh, I've just closed the window down. That was a bit silly of me, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
You could have called, you could have told me, Deb. I wouldn't have done that wrong then.
Sorry.
Let's see if we can get it back. Very frustrating. Let's turn the volume up.
There we go.
One more, and it's a brand new provider of feedback.
Contributor new.
Had to happen one day.
Richard Stevens.
I hope he's loud enough. Oh, here we go.
Hi, this is Rick Stevens. I thought I would have a go at giving a bit of feedback. So my first attempt will be a few comments on Robot of Sherwood. I thought it was an enjoyable, fun episode. As many have said before, very much a romp. Capaldi's Doctor obviously didn't believe anything he was being presented with, and I enjoyed his general grumpiness in the face of all of the laughing merry men and Hood. I really enjoyed Clara's sheer excitement and general glow at the fact she thought she was meeting Robin Hood. What I didn't like, I don't really like the implication that Robin and his gang were actually real. Mainly, probably down to the portrayal, really, of the characters falling into what's considered probably the most cliched portrayals associated with each of them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually feel that the edit in the final fight damaged the episode, even though it removed the entire the Sheriff was part of robot plot element. It seemed to be fine without it, and if you weren't aware of it in advance, I don't think it would be an issue, although, you know, the robot in the name of the episode probably leaves some doubts as to what its meaning without that particular plot thread there. On the whole, I thought it was an enjoyable, fun pit stop before things take a turn for the dark next week, judging from the trailer's end of the episode. I think lots of people are looking forward to that one. There was no Missy in this episode, but there was the reference.
Oh, you stopped everything.
Did I?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Everything's stopped.
Oh, right, for you.
Is it? Oh, I've got the sort of cards. I'll let you carry on then, Deborah.
Is anybody still there?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
No, I've been disconnected.
Everything just went a bit mental.
I think we've lost Ben.
Yeah, you've lost me.
Sorry,
I was lost years ago, though. So.
I don't know what you've done.
Well, sorry, Rick. We didn't mean to cut you off in your flow. I do apologise. Adam is now just sorting out a car issue.
You mean arguing?
Ow.
Well, so we don't really know who the reference of Robot of Sherwood is then, if it isn't Robin Hood, who... Are we talking that only the sheriff is the robot?
Well, that's it. Because that was kind of left up at the air, wasn't it? Just the robot.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume Robin was a robot as well.
It could have just been the doctor thinking that he was a robot.
And yeah. up until a week and a half ago, I always was seeing this thing referred to as Robots of Sherwood, and I assumed it was referring to the robots. The
working copy title is Robots of Sherwood.
Yeah.
So I thought they were all robots.
But hold on, why couldn't the word or title Robots of Sherwood just refer to the robots that were helping the sheriff?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Then it became robot. So that's
Well, then the robot could just then be solely down to the sheriff, but obviously then they completely fluffed that one up by cutting out the scene.
Yes, exactly.
He was a robot.
Because I didn't know he was a robot until I saw that cut out scene, and then, he's a robot.
Yeah, and I picked it up in my second watching. So, it was... Yeah, if people had just watched it once, and just they wouldn't have realised.
No.
Well, I've only seen it the once, and it still makes... I'm still searching for the cut scene, actually. Haven't found it yet.
Someone posted it on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it went down within 3 seconds of it going up.
Oh.
Yeah. I did try that, and I'm now searching YouTube. To no avail as yet, though. But no, I think it was, as you said, I mean, it didn't really affect the story apart from the massive part of the story that it changed. I think the there was a slight bit of being a little bit too overcautiousness by the BBC or Stephen Moffat, whoever decided it needed to be cut there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, obviously there's been a couple of nasty incidents, Dan with ISIS, but
I think maybe they're going. The scene was handled very tastefully, and there were even some jokes around it that all got lost.
From what I've read happens in it, it doesn't actually seem like it really needed to be cut.
Right.
I'm sure that when it comes out on DVD, the full scene will be in there and it was just cut for temporary purposes. But, I think they may be being oversensitive just a touch there, but is it best to be oversensitive or unsensitive? Well, when it completely changes the plot of the story, I think you go with what you've done. But, you know, we're not in the families of the two journalists who have lost their lives in...
Exactly.
So, what do you do?
Adam's back. Can't help
but say, you, the dog.
Has he still got all of his limbs?
He's still got all of his limbs.
Oh, you should click play. Here we go.
Sorry, we're carrying on with
to the
Promised
Land. Which I guess people are associating with the references to heaven in the other episodes. At the moment, obviously lots of suggested answers to what it all means are going around. My take on it, I would say, I feel that the fact that Missy seems to always be there at the most convenient point to collect these souls would suggest that could it be the TARDIS collecting at the point of death or just before the point of death? And saving them on behalf of the Doctor whilst the Doctor is still settling into his character. It could explain why Missy is there, It could explain the references to the Doctor being the boyfriend, the change of locales within the environments that she's found in, and I think it's a viable option, but we shall see as we move forward. So for now, thank you for listening, and hopefully I wasn't droning on too much. Maybe I'll leave some more feedback.
Oh, please do. Yeah.
Back to you guys.
Yeah. Yes. This is quite abrupt. You sit down and press play.
I didn't know. My clairvoyant powers failed
again.
We're
all professionals now, but yes, we can all sort it out and talk a bit while you're not there. It's fine.
Exactly.
Well, I didn't know.
Sit down and... You didn't press play, Bond.
The one thing I will say, though, is obviously, you know, there's issues there with Debs again at home. And does she punch you where it can't be seen? Like, does she punch you over the body so the bruises can't be seen by anybody at work?
Well, I'm quite fat, so they tend to just get absorbed by the...
What about the baseball bat blows? I mean, when you do something...
Now
really
we know
bad.
What happens to the Absorbolla.
I think we're in a bit of trouble.
But when you don't cook the dog's dinner in time or something, if you start whacking with a baseball bat, is that over the back of the shoulders so it can't be seen as well? It's a clever girl.
It might be today, but we'll see how we go on. Yes, well, thanks everyone for feedback. It's always very nice to get feedback, isn't it? Even on days when you shouldn't be recording the show, apparently.
Yeah.
And they've got the next-door neighbour making a racket as well outside. It's all going off today.
Have you got the gas man outside your house?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if he turns up.
Yeah, he'll turn up in a minute,
Oh, well. Sorry, did I interrupt something?
We were just discussing
Adam,
the cutscene.
No, your podcast. You do what you want.
The what scene?
The cutscene.
Oh, I thought you said cat scene. I don't
remember
seeing any cats.
Yes, the cat scene. Didn't you see that bit?
No,
you had to hold on till the end.
Oh, dear, right. I suppose it might be a good idea to... do the missing episode, that's last week's, this week's episode of, hang on, let's get my theme tune ready.
Oh, no.
Oh yes, so you won't get this one. Oh, I've got my score card.
Spinning wheel of doom.
A spinning wheel of who's been contaminating my computer. That's because it's a long track. No. Right. Welcome to You Won't Get This One, Ben.
Hello. I was confused before. Now I'm massive. What are we doing?
It's a quiz.
Oh, we're doing the quiz again.
What do you mean again? It's a regular feature of the show.
Well, yeah, but I'm not. So therefore...
Well, the benefit, of course, is that you have seen all the episodes... so you should be able to answer the questions. At,
and I also, therefore, still get 6 points for a correct answer.
No, not on this occasion, no, I'm afraid. But good try. Because you've seen the episode. In fact, you've probably seen the episode about the same amount of time as all of us. So the first question...
Well, once, that'll be then.
Well, similar to us then. Right, so first question goes to Curb E.
Master.
Who is Journey calling in the opening scene? It's obviously the previous thing because we haven't done these ones yet. Who's Journey calling it? Don't you dare look at my questions.
I'm not looking at your questions.
I didn't realise we were going back to last week.
I did say last week. I did say last week, didn't I? Yes, I did. Thank you, Debbie. Yes.
Aristotle.
Hey?
The ship, Aristotle.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I didn't know you were on that.
You asked the question.
Yeah.
And then it pays no attention to the answer.
Yeah, someone deleted part of my question there, didn't they? That's what confused me.
Excuse me, what are you talking about? Oh, the answer? Oh.
Correct. Right then, next question goes to... I'll give him 2 points for that. Mm. I'm all over the place today. Mary?
Yes?
What is Journey's brother's name?
Well, the name I heard was Kai.
Guinea pig.
Well, that's because it was the correct answer.
Okay.
Daniel's what? No, oh, Kai, okay.
Yeah, Kai.
Debbie,
yeah.
According to the doctor, who is crying for? What is crying for? So, what is crying for, according to the doctor?
Crying?
Never going to get this one. You won't get this one.
No, I don't know.
Anybody?
No.
Oh, hang on. We've got to do that. Well, the answer is civilians.
Crying is for civilians.
Yes. Ben.
Hold on, you can't throw a question out there and then not allow anyone to give an answer.
I did, but nobody answered me.
The answer. I could have got that.
Could you?
No.
No. Right, Ben.
I could have done if I'd known the answer.
Ben, what is Danny's first word in the story?
Oh, my gosh. Go on, Ben, that's an easy one.
It is quite easy.
Wow.
I think I might have a guess at that.
Is it silent?
No, it isn't. But is it okay? In, Debbie.
Is it all right?
No.
I'm going to murder lots of
can
people.
Can I answer?
Yes, go on then, Kirby.
Attention.
Correct.
I was close with silence. I should at least get 3 points for that.
Right. Kirby.
Master.
What subject does Clara teach?
English.
Is the correct answer.
I'll give him the easy question.
Mary.
He has so far. What?
What newspaper was Clara holding when she first chats with Danny?
Was it the Clarion? Something like that?
I don't know. Go on in,
it
Kirby.
It was the Gallifreyan Times.
It's the Guardian.
It was the Guardian. Right, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whose leaving party did Clara invite Danny to?
No idea.
Well, anybody?
Kathy.
Correct. Made good Kathy. Notes on this,
I haven't got my notes from last week. Right.
Ben?
See, yeah. You didn't give me a chance to grab my notes at the very beginning there, because I didn't know we were going back a week for the notes that
I did mention
made last
week.
That
people
we never...
just don't listen, do they?
No. I got told by you, didn't I? Yeah.
Ben?
You've hardly given me a chance to work on Wikipedia.
As usual, I've got notes going up to maybe half the episode.
Never mind, we don't need a novel on your excuses. Ben, if the Doctor is not Clara's boss, what does she think he is?
Carer.
Oh, I know this one. Yes. I know this one.
no. Is that your answer, Ben?
Yeah.
Hobby.
Correct. Right. Kirby. That's right. That was Ben's question. What do you mean, no?
Yes, it is.
Kirby.
It's a logical question.
Master.
Where is the number AR-013-AR-F74 displayed?
I would guess it has something to do with the shrinking module thingy, Majigger.
You would guess correctly. Mary.
And I didn't make a note for that. I'm just remembering it. Sort of.
Mary, what are the lights on the Dalek's eye stalk? Or in the Dalek's eye stalk, not that on them, sorry.
What are the lights
inside
in
the
eye
Dalek?
Stalk?
Yes, what are they?
I have no idea.
It's a bit of a shame, anybody?
Oh, wait a minute. Yes,
oh,
you're
coming back now.
Saw it.
Go on in, Mary. Get a point because you said no, and then you come back to actually.
Oh, yes,
come.
Yes, yes.
Go on in, Mary.
The visual impulse
is
traveling to the brain. Yeah.
Because nobody else came up with the answer. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Hang on. Mary.
What?
There we go.
God, this is slick, isn't it?
Yeah, really. I'll tell you.
All right,
we're
Debbie.
If we're not
who does the Doctor con into allowing the antibodies to kill him? I've got. Options for the names if you can't think come up with a name yourself. You get an extra point if you do it without my options.
Who are you asking?
Debbie.
Ross.
You seem upset, Adam.
Because he wasted time writing
this. It's not playing the ding. There we go,
ding.
Correct.
He came up with the names Ross, Rachel, or Chandler.
He wasted all that time writing down options. Right, Ben.
Yes.
Why do Daleks occasionally harvest their victims?
Oh, yeah.
Because they need the protein.
I should play two bits of music. that one and...
Hold on. It's the famous quote of what you call it that film was. Ghostbusters. Yeah. I got one!
Man, that might be a good idea to go through. Hang on, what? Yes.
I want it noted that I do not have Wikipedia open.
Oh, be quiet.
I haven't got Wikipedia open. Yes, I have. I've also
I don't think on this occasion it really makes that much difference, to be honest with you. Right, in last place with 3 points is Ben. In a joint second place with 4 points each is Mary and Debbie. And then the lead with 8 points is Smarty Pants Kirby. Right, it's Kirby's question.
Master.
What unusual standard battle equipment do they carry?
Geiger counter.
Is the correct answer.
Yeah.
What, you think I didn't watch this one?
Mary.
Yeah.
Why does the Doctor think that the Dalek, being about to blow up
that,
his...
That.
Someone's been infiltrating my questions here.
And your voice
things have been deleted. Right, why does the Doctor think that the Dalek being about to blow up is good?
Oh,
you won't get
yes.
this one. Oh, Debbie will apparently.
I
won't get that one.
Is it because there's no such thing as a good Dalek?
Nope.
Oh, well, apparently.
Hang on, let's do
it. Because he's never been there before and it's new to do it.
No, it's, he likes a bit of pressure.
Yeah.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Right. What was Clara's dirty look at the Doctor for?
Dirty look at the Doctor?
Which one?
She gave the Doctor a specific dirty look.
I know why.
Go on in, Ben. Oh, hang on. Ben, go on in. Yes.
There were several, what I remember.
Was it the one where she was about to slap him? Was it that one?
It was, and we're going to get her.
Hi, hi, hi.
Ben.
Back in the game, yeah.
What important... something did Clara teach the Doctor? Oh, sorry, what lesson. Important thing?
It was a lesson.
Yeah, what important lesson did
what,
Clara
the exact words?
Eh? No, what important lesson did Clara teach the Doctor about the Daleks? No, it's not. It's obviously not the exact words. What?
Well, so when they were inside the Dalek, and just after she had slapped him,
yeah,
and then he kind of like looked at her, and they said, "Ah, oh, no, but what I've taught you is this that bit."
Yeah, go on. Then what was it?
That's the bit you're after.
Yeah.
Yeah? That's the answer to the question
He's
you need.
He's fast forwarding
yes.
to it right now.
Yes, I was fast forwarding. I think I might have gone past it.
That
they'd learnt a lesson that day.
Yes, which was?
Because the Doctor thought something and Clara proved him wrong.
Oh, yeah, time's up. Anybody?
It was that there was no.
They had a good sign.
I didn't quite get the question.
Oh well, never mind. The answer is a good Dalek is possible. Right. The next question is.
I kind of said that they had a good sign.
That's not quite. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What was Gretchen's surname?
Gretchen Allison something.
No, that's
I don't remember.
Anybody?
Is it Carlisle?
It is.
That's very good, because that's not on Wikipedia, though, but I'm looking.
By the way, I would argue that a Dalek that wants to kill other Daleks is a good Dalek, because he still is a killer. And I don't know that would make him good.
Oops, sorry, stop knocking me microphone.
Why did I remember her middle name, but I couldn't remember the Carlisle part?
No idea. Right, that was Ben's question, wasn't it?
It's your mystery. Right. That's
my question.
Oh, so this is Mary's question then. Now, I'm losing a thread.
It was Mary's question.
So now it's
Debbie's
question.
No, that was Kirby's question. Mary answered. Yes. So it's Mary's question. Sorry.
Thank you. You confused me. Mary.
Yeah.
What in the Doctor's mind does Rusty see that is good?
Beauty, endless divine perfection, divinity, hatred.
Ding.
Going about 50 different things. Anybody?
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Go
ding,
on
ding,
in.
Ding.
Ben. Yes, Ben.
That was my buzzer.
Yes.
he saw the birth of the star.
No, what's the Doctor? If it's hatred of the Daleks, specifically, is what I was looking for. Then.
Mary said hatred.
Yeah, I'll give her a point for hatred, but it wasn't quite the full answer.
You got a point.
We went through about 50 different things. Eventually,
she
came through the whole dictionary of different words.
The Daleks saw all those things, and the last thing he saw was
whatever,
I saw
whatever,
divinity.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What colour is the pullover that Clara changed into at the end of the story?
It was red.
It's correct. All right, Ben, now we're moving into the most recent episode.
Hold on, fresh in the
memory. Sorry?
Yes.
Right. What year does the Doctor take them to see Robin Hood, roughly?
Roughly?
Yeah.
I know.
So you're asking me.
Yes? Well, here we go.
Come on. First question about the episode that we most recently watched.
Yes.
Yes.
Which was called The Robot of Sherwood, even though up until recently...
He's looking it up.
Yes.
The Robot of Sherwood.
Who said
first? No, I'm not looking it
was
up.
Is it Kirby?
Yeah, go on in, Kirby.
Hold on.
1190 AD-ish.
That's the correct answer. Right, Kirby, your question.
1190.
Hang on, I didn't put the count. Kirby, there we go. What does the Doctor want to do to Robin Hood on first meeting him?
Ooh, pardon.
Yeah, where are we going with this?
Yeah. This was a different episode to the one I saw. Are these more cut scenes?
Besides the fighting, I don't remember anything as particular.
He wants.
Anybody?
Well, he wants to check that he's a robot.
No, the answer. Hang on. No. So definitely a. The answer is punch him in the face, Mary.
Oh yeah, that's one of my quotes.
Within the first 5 minutes of the story, what two other incarnations have the Doctor channeled? Other than himself, of course.
I know.
Go on in, Mary.
I don't remember.
No, go on in, Kirby. Hang on, Mary. It's a definite.
Cyrano de Bergerac, Errol Flynn.
What?
And no, no. Richard.
He's incarnations of the Doctor. Right, you're going to get
three and seven.
Right. Oh, I'll give you a point, Debbie.
12 and 6.
Okay.
9 and 11.
Right, Debbie. What is the name of the... Tyranno de Bergerac. What is the name of the Sheriff of Nottingham... Of the peasant, sorry, the Sheriff of Nottingham runs through with his sword.
Can I leave now for mishearing a question?
No. No, Debbie, that was that for you. All right, and Ben.
Yes.
This will be interesting. What device from the classic era does the Doctor consider they might be inside?
I know.
So you're asking. Just to get the question absolutely right, because I wouldn't want to give an answer to a question that I wasn't completely sure that what you were asking.
It's not on Wikipedia.
No,
it isn't. No, I'm not on Wikipedia. Down, 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 down.
It's not there.
Scrolling, scrolling.
I'm not scrolling or fast forwarding the movie at the
two,
at the same time.
One.
I'd say that. Hold on, I've completely forgotten.
Go on then, what's his name? Kirby.
Yeah.
Kirby.
Well, since the answer is not Cyrano de Bergerac, it would be a miniscope.
It would be correct.
De Bergerac.
Right, Kirby, this is your question.
Master.
What is Robin Hood's real name?
Robert Earl of Locksley.
Robert Earl of correct.
I
right, Mary.
Was Huntingdon.
Robert Earl of
Correct. Depending on what story you're watching. Mary, what pseudonym did Robin use in the contest?
I know that one.
I know.
Then you got him with an I know first.
Something the Tinker.
I'll give you a point for that. Go on then, for
Tom
the other
the
point.
Tinker.
Well done. You would remember that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course I'd remember that. My husband found that very funny.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What reward... Hang on, I'm not going to do any more sound effects. What reward did the Doctor want?
Enlightenment.
Is the correct answer. Right. Ben.
Didn't we just watch that one a few weeks ago?
Yes, we did. Ben, what did Marion call the robot?
Piece of... you tin metal mother...
Anybody? Anybody? No?
Frank. Was it Frank? Gargoyle. Did she call the robot Frank?
It was Gargoyle.
I'd have called him Frank.
Right,
then.
Right, the scores are... So far, in last place with 4 points, it's Ben.
Woo!
In third place with 7 points, it's Mary. In second place with 12 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 14 points, it's Smarty Pants. Who's go it is
I
now?
I don't deserve that one because I misheard the
It's irrelevant. Right. Kirby.
I entirely agree. You don't deserve it.
Kirby, what shape is the window of the Doctor and Robin's cell? What shape is the window?
It's a cross.
It's a... I need to press wrong then. I would have had a deducted point. Yes, it's correct. Right. Mary.
Well, I deserve deducted points.
Do you? Right.
No, you
Mary.
Yes.
What was the Sheriff of Nottingham's assessment of Clara over the dinner table?
Don't know. Don't remember.
Anybody?
She was a foxy piece of chicken.
Anybody? No, the answer is refreshingly direct. Debbie.
Yes.
What did the Sheriff call the spaceship?
Skyship.
It is correct.
Is that Frank?
Ben.
Frank.
Ben.
Frank the Skyship.
It's in there somewhere.
I'm sure Frank was something.
There's a TV series in this somewhere.
Ben. According to the Sheriff. Sorry, what is second only to the world, according to the Sheriff?
What is second
in the
only
things he
to
wants
the...
to take over?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Derby.
No.
London.
Lincoln.
No. The world.
Lincoln. No. And then it was
Frank's room.
Oh, now what you've made me do, you've made me open it up in iTunes. Right, so it's a point goes to Debbie.
Yes.
Lincoln.
My computer's gone all haywire.
Shreveport.
I've accidentally opened it up, that thing. I double clicked on it, you see.
Worksop,
no.
Yeah.
No, iTunes. No, it's Vinci played it. It's playing
over.
He
wants to take over iTunes.
But just started.
Do we need to do a BBC type edit?
By the way, no, we don't. This is a live podcast, for obvious reasons. I haven't got time to edit it. Right then. Which is a bit of a disaster, really. Kirby.
Master.
What failed ITV challenger to Doctor Who did Ben Miller star in?
How should I know?
Ben knows.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
For you, it's a. For Ben, it's.
Oh, God. It was the program that also starred Hannah Spirit.
Yes,
out
it
of
did, yes.
Seven.
Yes.
And it was.
Oh!
The dinosaur.
Yeah, it was, yes.
The name. And see, I'm not typing.
Gosh, yeah, I remember that.
I can't remember the name.
It was terrible.
Oh, that's a shame. Nobody knows it. I got it wrong last week. I called it paranormal last week. It's in fact Primeval. Right, Kirby.
Because it was rubbish. Yeah.
It was rubbish, yes. Kirby, what was reflected in the castle's moat as Robin carried Clara to safety?
The moon.
What floated
that was...
in the moat?
Reflected in the moat.
Is correct answer. Right, Mary.
Poo.
Yes. What was Patrick Troughton's claim to fame in relation to Robin Hood?
Don't know.
Oh, I know. We do that one, but Kirby knows.
I know.
He was the first person to portray Robin Hood on television.
He was the first person to portray Robin Hood on television. Mm. Debbie.
Yes.
Fill in the missing word from the sheriff. Mm-mm. Who will rid me of this doctor?
Turbulent.
Frank.
That was my quote.
That was her quote. Yes.
Frank.
Frank. Ben. I'm running out of questions, thank goodness. Ben, who is the opiate of the masses, according to the doctor?
Oh, the opiate of the masses. So you're asking me.
Yes.
It's a quote from Karl Marx.
No, it's not Frank. No, anybody?
Mary knows.
Go on, Mary.
Well, Karl Marx said religion.
Both
Robin
wrong.
Hood.
So it was Robin Hood. They're both wrong. Right. So, Kirby.
Master.
What is Robin Hood's hobby?
Oh, yeah. I know.
I don't. I see we're getting towards the end of an episode.
There we
I
go.
Don't
it's annoying,
have
yeah,
it's
annoying
Debbie.
The sheriff.
It is indeed annoying the sheriff, which I would thought you would have got that because your hobby seems to be annoying
archery.
Me.
Archery.
Right then.
Archery. Frank.
Mary.
Frank.
Mary, what does the sheriff call Robin just
Frank
before his demise?
Frank de Bergerac.
Was that question for me?
Yes, it was.
Do it again.
What does the sheriff call Robin just before his demise?
What did he call Robin? I don't know.
Oh, it's a... Does anybody know the answer?
I couldn't understand the question.
Oh, for goodness sake. What does the sheriff call Robin just before his demise?
I don't remember.
Oh, for goodness. Worth waiting for. The answer is Prince of Knaves.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Debbie.
Yep. Yeah.
What martial art is Clara familiar with?
Taekwondo.
Is the correct answer. Ben, last question.
Martian art?
You might get this one.
Venusian art. No.
I'll be quiet.
Frank.
Right, Ben, what colour shirt did the Doctor wear?
Oh.
White.
Was it purple?
It was purple, didn't it? Yes.
Purple. Blue.
Yeah, we should just bring up the question, you know, are they playing around with the Doctor's costume? Are we going to see
maybe
some more
back
changes?
In time is
well,
purple,
I,
forward
I
is white.
I did read, Mary, on the side of that, that the costume isn't consistent through the whole series. And
oh, okay.
Shirts and shoes and socks, and occasionally he might wear some sort of head aparatif.
Okay, well, in last place with 4 all points right. was Ben. In third place with 7 points is Mary. In second place, did I say third place? In second place with 14 points is Kirby, and the winner this week, Smarty Pants Debbie, with 20.
Yeah, I don't like the way that Debbie wins while she's sitting next to you.
Yeah.
Believe me, I am turned away from the questions because he sits there with them right there.
At least I did finally lose because of my horrible mishearing of the question.
You know what? I think I might drive over to the Isle of Wight next week and sit next to Adam as he's doing the quiz. Then I might win.
There's always an excuse.
I'm only joking.
I know. Don't worry.
Right.
So coming to the Isle of Wight.
Right. On last week's show, of course, I did mention about the amount of members we've got in the group compared with that listen. To the show.
I remember that. I remember, yeah.
So I posted the question that I wondered how, like if you listen, basically.
And then
you've
got a lot of grief.
Yeah, so basically, according to that, we have got a load of grief, that's true. We've got about 18 listeners, according
Yay!
To that. So mainly the grief was from Kirby, but.
Probably 17 if that bloke who used to not listen when I was on it is listening
again. But we have new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. I just need to find where I was. I did get an email off Ian illustrating who I'd welcomed last week. So I need to just reference that, because just to sort of what do you say? Is last week I welcomed Adam Sparks, Donna Lang, and J Home Slice Trill.
That's a great name.
Yes, it is. all right. So this week, therefore, it would be. Where's J Home?
Someone else has just asked.
Oh yeah, right. Shannon Lumley, who I roped into joining.
Member number 797.
Doctor Who fan. Is Julie Worm Olsen.
Member James number David
Hughes, costume designer at Doctor Who. Julie Worm Olsen.
She?
Yeah, look, it says costume designer at Doctor Who.
That might be a fib.
Oh, what a shame.
James David but Hughes, who's Welsh and who was the best man at the wedding I told you. Okay. Mariah Strobel.
Carey.
And Alessio Osso. And Jessica Crouch.
Couch.
Jessica Couch.
Yeah.
Damn, and no editing on the live podcast. Yes.
There's also two people waiting to be asked to be two joining people. Now.
I don't think there's two. One of them, I'm a bit dubious as to whether they are... let's get down to the main page. Were there two? Oh, somebody just appeared.
Just turned up, yeah.
They appeared. As
literally
we were speaking,
moments
let's have a quick look
in
through
front
their
of
profile. Where's the Doctor Who references? Debbie, where's the Doctor Who references? Can you see any?
Yeah, but we haven't been through the stuff in Ike's yet.
Well, I'm looking now. Can't see any Doctor Who references. Kirby wouldn't let him in.
Huh? What?
This might be the first time that they've had a look at something and gone, oh.
Sorry, I'm busy.
What's on? There's just somebody called Mac Lesniak who's asked to join the group.
Kaznaksky.
Hang on, it says change his profile picture. That's usually a fake account, isn't it, Kirby? Huh? I said it's usually a fake account when the first thing says change his profile picture.
Unless they're brand new.
Not necessarily. Yeah. Wait, let me.
Well, I don't trust
I was
them.
Doing something else. Let me take a look and see what you're talking about.
Let's not slag off potential friends.
Well,
I'll
leave them hanging.
okay, who's the person?
It's Mac Lesniak, who looks a bit dodgy. And this we've got a Mikhail.
I don't see a Mac Lesniak.
Kaczynski, I think that is. Kaczynski.
Yes, I don't trust them. I'm
Why not
letting them in. Because they don't have any Doctor Who references to their Facebook account.
Mikhail Kaczynski does.
Yeah. Let's look.
Yeah. University of Quebec.
Really?
There you go. Look.
Well, he didn't when I last checked, so I'll let them in. Right. So, Mikhail
Kaczynski.
Why do I have to have awkwardly to pronounce?
I went to school with a girl called Emma Kaczynski.
Did you? What about this Mac Lesniak?
I don't see anything.
Well, we'll leave it hanging for a bit, just in case.
Yeah, leave that hanging, but I don't think they're real.
You don't.
Mac, if you want to join the group, you're going to have to send us like £50 each.
If we start getting loads of daft adverts appearing on the timeline, we know that was a bad idea letting them in. But anyway, that's the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join and you can send feedback in, like the others have this week, to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Now, that's the first time I've mentioned that email address for a while, so we probably won't get any now. No. Yes, Ben?
I was going to say, I can't remember what I was going to say. you spoke over me and I lost my thread because I wasn't actually listening, as I pointed out in the thread about who does
welcome
listen.
To my world.
Yeah, but you listen to it when you edit it.
True.
I'm sitting here watching cricket. I don't know what any of you are saying.
I don't think there's any news to refer to. So I'm just having a quick look at news. I don't really want to do news, you know why?
Why?
Because I haven't got time to edit in the background music.
Doctor Who news, Doctor Who news.
If you want to know what I was doing while you were doing all that, just take a look at what I just posted on Facebook.
Ooh-wee.
Sorry to detract you from stuff you're doing. Yes. Interesting that the spacesuit that the old Danny Pink, or we assume it's Danny Pink,
it
is wearing,
like
the Doctor's
Which
spacesuit.
One? That photo you posted yesterday that isn't Danny Pink?
Yeah, I like that.
No, the one where that is Danny Pink from the preview for next week's show.
The world's easiest Doctor Who quiz, Kirby's just posted.
I got 9 out of 15, Kirby.
Yeah, there's no news, apart from there's no news. Right, so that's good then, isn't it? That easily glossed over. Do you want to do the, very quickly, because I'm running out of time. Well, I've run out of time, according to Debbie. That's the other
Debbie.
Do what? Sponsors, yes.
What, lavazi.co.uk?
Oh, you got it right.
Yeah.
I should have asked.
And whowon.co.uk, is that as well?
Yes.
Hey.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Sorry.
It just rolls off your tongue, Debbie.
That's what she said.
I was just looking at Lavazi, actually. That's probably why he asked me to
say
it.
We've got a white giant Dalek soft toy. We had that was in it last week. Nothing's changed.
I want one of them.
Nothing's
cool.
changed. It's all the same. Rather splendid
I
stuff.
Like
listen to last week's show.
I didn't see this last week, though, did I? No.
Doctor Who Annual, 2015. Yeah. Ben wants one of those. The 2015 David Tennant calendar that doesn't look very official, £9.99, and loads of new figures, not including figures that I want of the 12th Doctor.
Well, I've given my list to my husband. Anything Doctor Who.
I gave my list to my wife. You just smashed me in the face.
I think I'm likely to get a smash in the face.
Oh, we're talking about different. Sorry, really, completely got the wrong end of that conversation.
Whoops.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to go because I've got some complaining to do to Vistaprint. Okay. Normally, I just carry on doing the podcast, but unfortunately, I'm going to get told off. So I'd like to bring my telling off forward, have a cup of tea, and complain about the service I've been provided by one of the world's largest business card manufacturers.
Okay. Yeah.
So thanks everybody for joining us. We'll be here next week, probably on Monday, won't we, Mary?
I got 15 out of 15, Kirby.
Yes, that's what I said.
So we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again on a Monday.
Simply because I've got a wedding to film this week, and it's impossible for me to watch Doctor Who in enough time to provide a good standard of questioning.
Well, if you get to the point,
and you're working on Monday,
No, I'm not. No.
Oh, and Debbie's not working on Monday, whereas she was working this Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So
while Doctor Who is on, I like Mondays better.
Me too, Mary doesn't. But
no, I never like Mondays.
I can't cuddle her.
What's
from over
Mary's favourite coffee? We could send her a pack.
A coffee? Yeah. Came out of the blue.
Never mind. Anyway, right, so thanks for listening to the show. Back again next week. Sorry if I've missed anything, but I'm in a bit of a rush. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
I've got 6 out of 6 so far.
Well done.
Goodbye.
Bye.
What a disaster.
Doctor Who Podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.